For the first message today, we have Mr. John Murphy.
Thanks. Happy Sabbath, everybody. Shabbat Shalom. I just want to get started. I had a bad dream a couple nights ago that I was sitting in the chair here, and they announced that I was going to be doing this sermonette, and I had forgotten entirely. And I didn't have my jacket on, and the only jacket we had was Marshall's. And so I'm up here in this little coat, fumbling through, not remembering even what I was supposed to be speaking about. And so I remember it being Colossians 3. I got to be in Colossians 3, which is not at all what I'm speaking about today. So I have a question for you, start this off with. How would you define your relationship with Jesus Christ? How would you define your relationship with Jesus Christ? If you were to get a piece of paper and a pad or on your computer and start to detail, you know, the definition or defining your relationship with Jesus Christ, how would you do that? Would you say it was one of deep love and security and trusting? Or, you know, maybe from time to time you'd say it was one of doubt or indifference or distance. It's a good question, but here's a better one. And it is, because I came up with it. How would Jesus define his relationship with you? How would Jesus define his relationship with you? The good news is, it's written down for us. He tells us over and over and over. In his last words before he died, he told us a lot of things, some of them very, very important to us. He said the kingdom was coming. He said, follow my example. He said, I'm sending you the Holy Spirit, and I'm going to live in you and you in me. But he also said two things that are very, very important that he helped define our relationship and his relationship with us. Just two points, very, very simple points today that I'm going to be talking about. And I want you to go ahead and turn to where he has written down how he feels about his disciples and those that follow him. John 15 and verse 9, and we'll start there. John 15 and verse 9. The last words that Jesus wanted to get across to his believers were these. As the Father has loved me, I love you. Abide in my love. Now I'm going to stop there for a reason. Do you believe that? Have you internalized that? Does that weave in and out of your heart? And do you doubt at times? Or are you a changed person because you really truly do believe that? I think from time to time that's an important question to ask. And verse 10 says, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. And I want to stop there and say, okay, we can make the mistake sometimes of saying, well, if I break the commandments or I sin, I'm stepping out of that definition of his love, that I'm stepping out of the love. And I kind of consider it a room, you know, the room of love, so to speak. If he always loves us, no matter what we do or say or think, he always loves us. When we sin, we step out of the room, but that doesn't mean his love changes. Doesn't mean how his definition of how he feels about us changes. So Jesus Christ says this, you know, you're lovable. I love you. He said it to his disciples, and he said it to us over and over. He said it to us through his sacrifice. I have an acquaintance a number of years back who had mentioned, was not a believer, and was struggling with some things in his life. And you know, he asked me, because he knew I was a believer, and he asked me, well, how does it work for you? And I remember fumbling through this and not knowing what to say, and I remember getting counsel from a brother and asking him, you know, what should I tell this guy? And my elder brother said, you know, have you told him how much God loves him? Because that really is the message, isn't it? It is the message that people need to first hear, that you are lovable, that Jesus Christ does love you, and that he will always love you no matter what you do, no matter where you go, no matter what you say. He is always going to continue to love you. That's point number one. Point number two begins in Matthew 5 and verse 13 through 16. Matthew 15 verses 13 through 16. And it says this, greater love has no man than this, that he laid down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you to do. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is. But I have called you my friends. For all things that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. You didn't choose me, but I chose you. You know, Jesus is saying there is, you're my friend. You're likable. I love you, and you're likable. Now, how much do you internalize that, and how much does that motivate you and change your life? How much do you carry that to the next person on the street or any unbeliever? Jesus Christ said some very, very important things before he died. And most importantly, he said, you know, I love you. You're lovable. And he said, I like you. You're my friend. You know, we typically read these scriptures around Passover time. And I was thinking, maybe, just maybe, these simple concepts might be what we need to focus on most before the Passover. Maybe it isn't just our sin. Maybe it's the idea that we haven't internalized that he really truly does love me no matter what I say, do, or go, or where I go. And he really likes me. I am lovable. I am likable. This is the most important message that we could get across to anybody we come in contact with. You know, we can give them the code of conduct. We can explain that Christ is going to return. We can define the resurrections. But the first thing somebody does need to know is that he loves them, and they're likable. This is what I learned from Denny Luker. Today is that day. I have no other way to segue the resurrection. So I want to encourage you with these words, to internalize these words as we prepare for Passover. And I want to encourage you with the words that we practice once a year that we promise. And I do have to apologize. This is being done just a little bit later than in the year, for whatever reason or not. But we try to remember those people that have died and gone on before us, and we look forward to seeing again. And so we will rehearse these words, as it says in verse 18, encourage each other with these words. I know it's not the smoothest segue to this, but these are important lessons. I did learn this from Denny, and I think we all need to head into the Passover season thinking, I am lovable and I am likable. Let's read 1 Thessalonians 4. 1 Thessalonians 4. I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who are asleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, from the voice of an angel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and we remain will be caught up together with them in the clouds and meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. And we do comfort each other with these words. So with that in mind, with those simple lessons, with a simple lesson that Jesus Christ loves me and I'm likable, I would like to go ahead and present, as we do once a year, those of our friends that we're looking forward to in that first resurrection.